From Studio 22, you're listening to ServeCast with your host, William Lamb. ServeCast is dedicated to challenging those who have a desire to serve, lead, and make the world a better place through the love of Jesus Christ. And now, here's William.
Welcome to ServeCast. We're glad you joined us. My guest today is Babbie Mason. Now, many of you have probably heard of Babbie, especially if you like music and, in particular, good Christian music. She is a phenomenal singer, songwriter, and she's an author. She has been on the stage with people like George W. Bush, President Ford, President Carter, Jeff Foxworthy, tons of folks around the world in which she has had impact on their life and has continued to share the good news and the gospel. Now, there's a couple of books that she has recently written as of 2013 and then most recently 2016. This I Know for Sure. We're going to ask her a couple of questions about that book. And also, I Am a Daughter of the Most High King. So we'll be right back with this conversation with Babbie Mason. Please don't leave. We're going to talk about faith, leadership, and service. And as always, we'll provide you with a Lee University tune on the end so that you can reflect in what God might be speaking to you as we share about the good news of the gospel and how it affects our lives. Hey, Babbie, welcome to Studio 22 and ServeCast. We are glad you are with us.
Thank you. I'm happy to be with you.
Now, this is not your first time at the Lee University campus because you teach here, and tell us a little bit about what you do and each week when you come here and what you teach at Lee.
Well, I'm approaching somewhere around year 25.
Awesome.
I know. I've been coming up here for quite a while, and I teach songwriting in the School of Music.
Now, I wrote a song once, and, you know, my wife, you know her very well, Angela.
I do.
So, you know, we'll let her talk to you about my songwriting skills. She's not overly impressed with those, but she endures them. You know,
need to take my class.
I probably need to take your class. Hey, could we do that without Angela knowing, and then I could learn to write a really cool song for her?
Oh, that would be so cool. We could surprise her at the end of the semester.
This is our 30th.
We could do a before and an after.
Right. This is our 30th year of marriage, so that would be fun. We could do that. So
that would be so fun for you to write an anniversary song.
We just might do that, Babbie. We'll talk about it a little bit later, okay? So, all right. I already told the folks who you were and kind of, you know, you're nearing three decades of using your voice and your gifts and your talents in honoring God through worship and songwriting. And actually, you've authored a few books, right? So, but it doesn't look like you're anywhere near slowing down, right? So you're 30 years in almost. Talk a little bit about maybe what you've seen over the years in a couple of minutes and maybe where you think you're headed in continuing to honor God in this call.
You know, I believe that retirement is just not in my vocabulary, you know? I don't think I'm meant to retire. I'm just going to keep on refiring. You know, I made this discovery a couple of years ago. Somebody told me about the word potential. And, you know, potential is latent power. It's just power in reserve, power that is already accessible to us, gifts and talents that we haven't even discovered yet. And I just don't want to go somewhere and sit down knowing that there's something new and wonderful and exciting potentially for me to do. And I love what I do, and I do what I love. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, it's been over three decades as far as ministry is concerned.
Wow.
I taught middle high school music for a lot of years. And then in the middle 80s, I laid down my teaching profession to launch into ministry as a full-time vocation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're approaching something like year 34, something like that. And all of my life, I've wanted to be a teacher and a singer. I grew up the daughter of a pastor, so I cut my chops real early in church, learning how to play the piano, taking piano lessons, studying voice lessons. I've always wanted to teach. I taught middle high school music for 8 years. And then I went to a conference in the mid-80s called the Christian Artist Music Seminar in the Rockies and sat in on a songwriting class, and all kinds of lights began to ring and come on. I've always been a lover of words and music, but somehow that week it just all came together, and I came home from that conference and began to write, and the very first song that I wrote coming out of that conference was All Rise. And All Rise is, you know, over the years has become a signature song. Recorded, you know, many times. Matter of fact, my one of my favorite arrangements is arranged by a Lee alum,
yeah.
Bradley Knight,
okay.
who was one of my songwriting students years ago. So, and then I started writing books and coaching and teaching and writing Bible studies and teaching women. And they're just these new and exciting gifts that I keep discovering about me. And that's what I want to encourage listeners today, mm-hmm. is that you have gifts and talents that you haven't even tapped into yet.
Awesome.
And so, you know, this is not the time for you to give up or throw in the towel, but this is a time for you to just look inside, see what it is you have in your hand, mm-hmm. talk to God about his plan for your life, because you do have a future and a hope. You always have a future and a hope until the day you breathe your last breath, and then you graduate with honors.
There you go. There you go. So take us back to when you first felt the call. You know, people talk a lot about calling, talk about career. Now, I personally believe that calling is non-negotiable. You know, when God gives us a calling, it's pretty much non-negotiable. You know, we need to basically respond to that in obedience. Fortunately, I do think God gives us a lot of different opportunities in which to live out that calling. You know, we can tend to look at those as careers. But take us back to when you really felt that call, that this is your lifetime commitment. This is what you really need to do with your voice, with your gifts, with your talents, and with those potentials and possibilities you just talked about. What does it look like to really hear from God and know when God speaks to you with a calling, what you need to do?
Well, you know, as far as my gifts and the calling on my life, I believe several things had to align. First of all, I have a gift. I know it's from God. The Bible says that God has given to every man the measure of a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I came into the world singing. My parents affirmed that very early in life. At the age of 9 years old, our church pianist moved away to another city. I was playing the piano, a few chords by ear. Daddy said, "Okay, Bab, today you're gonna play." At 9 years of age, I could only play by ear in one key of C. But as the opportunity began to present itself, the gift began to flourish.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a great sign, is that the gift began to flourish given the opportunity.
Wow.
And we have to seize those opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
We have to maximize those moments. And it starts with what it is that you do well, that you love.
Mm-hmm.
The opportunity comes aligning with what you do well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the main ingredients was the affirmation from my father and others around me. They began to affirm my gift. "Babby, you do this well. Will you come over here and sing for us? Will you come over here and play for my
mm-hmm.
wedding?
Mm-hmm.
Will you sing at my women's prayer breakfast?"
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon, the opportunities began to really overflow.
Mm-hmm.
My calendar began to fill up. And then it began to compete with my day job as a school teacher. But this is what I found is beautiful, is that oftentimes, opportunity will present conflict.
Okay.
And so a conflict arose with my day job and this potential ministry that was on the horizon for me. And I began to seek the Lord and pray with my husband and talk with my pastor about taking the leap of faith
mm-hmm.
and closing the door on classroom teaching and launching into a ministry. And the Lord just began to open up doors. As a matter of fact, one of my good friends came by my house with a evangelist friend of hers.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that was keeping me from quitting my job was, we had a lot of dates on the calendar, but we didn't have enough money really to sustain health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
My husband had started his own job. And the night before I was to turn in the form that said yes or no, I would or wouldn't be coming back to the Cobb County mm-hmm. in Marietta, Georgia, my friend came by with an evangelist, and we talked and fellowshipped for an hour, and I sat at the piano and sang a song, and as I'm typically known to do on the spur of the moment. And as we were closing up our meeting and our greeting fellowship time, he said, "Babby, is there anything that's on your heart that we can pray, that we need to pray about?" And
mm-hmm.
I said, "Yeah, I got to turn in this form in the morning. I really want to quit my job and go into ministry as a full-time vocation, but we don't have health insurance."
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of those needs that I know from God, if I'm to do this, he'll supply that need.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have that yet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after we prayed, that evangelist said, "You know, Babby, I believe, although we just met, I believe in your ministry so much that my wife and I will pay for your family's
wow.
health insurance for the first year of
wow.
ministry."
Awesome. Awesome.
Is that awesome?
So God kind of gives you an option right then. You're really going to own it or you're not, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But he'll give you opportunities to step out on faith.
Yeah.
And oftentimes he tosses the ball to us, and it's as if he's saying, "I'm providing this opportunity. I've given you this gift.
Mm-hmm.
I've given you this talent. I've even given you the desire. Now, what are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. And that means we have to take a step of faith, even though we may not have all the answers, we may not have all the, you know, everything in place, but we take that leap of faith and then we begin to see God open up doors for us. And that's what he began to do for me in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. And I haven't looked back since.
That is awesome. That is awesome. And I think with that, obviously, hearing you talk, you know, comes a certain amount of energy. To say that, you know, obedience, and then God energizes us with his Holy Spirit. I believe that, you know, he gives us the energy to actually do what he's calling us and bringing us to do. Let's get a little personal for just a minute, Babby, as if we've not been personal talking about your story to this point. But, you know, a lot of folks in this in faith journey, you know, unfortunately, the music industry can sometimes look like a profession. But it's still, you know, you've got to have a relationship with the Creator, the one who gives you the words to write the songs. So talk to us a little bit about, in this faith segment, how you've been able to balance a very busy career, a very prosperous career, a very demanding career, with your own personal devotion and maintaining that integrity and credibility that God has got to be first. Yeah, this music is great. It's awesome. It has touched countless lives around the world. But I think that's mainly because you continue to keep that fire burning in your personal relationship. What does it look like for a busy person like you to balance this confidence in God and faith in God?
You know, I think one of the main things, it's so important, at least in my life, is perspective. Keeping a clear-headed perspective on what I need to do. I'm married. I've been married longer than I've been in ministry, so that meant I was married going into ministry.
Right.
And we had a family, you know, even before I launched into ministry. And so my faith and my family, you know, they come first. And I think one of the main things for me is that I had to learn what to do when my head says yes, but my heart says no. And there was oftentimes a struggle, you know, being in the, quote, music industry.
Right.
There's that struggle, there's that inner struggle oftentimes to get ahead or to compete or to have that number one song on the radio or to get on that tour or, you know, there's always that inner drive to compete, at least it was for me, to keep all of that in check and not let that become the main thing. And so one of the main things that helped to keep all of that in perspective for me is my relationship with the Lord. And that has always come first. You know, I was saved at an early age. I gave my life to Christ at age 8, but there's always been this faith, this foundation of faith, even as a very, very young child. I came into the world going to church. I've been going to church since 9 months before I was born. That's how long I have
been. I love it.
I've been going to church all my life. But I made a commitment to faith in Christ at age 8. And that has been the predominant staying force in my life. And so even during those times of struggle, when I wanted to say yes to an opportunity, but I knew that it wasn't best for my family, and that has always kind of been the thing that separated the good from the best.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's keeping family, my husband and my kids first.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly as they got older and they got involved in their own after-school activities, they're both really fine musicians.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, my oldest son, Jerry, came to Lee in the early 90s. He was a student here. And I've just wanted always to make sure that they had what was best for them,
mm-hmm.
not what was best for me, but best for them as my family. And so that has always been two of the things, my faith and my family, that have just helped keep things in perspective.
Mm-hmm. And realizing that, you know, there's always going to be these moments where, yeah, it's great, and then there's going to be these moments, unfortunately, you know, where the challenge comes, and our faith really has to be trusting when we're not seeing what we want to see. And I think you talk a little bit about that in your book, you know, This I Know For Sure, right?
Yes.
It's a workbook. Can you give us a few minutes to talk about that book and really why that's important and how can someone you know, utilize that resource to help them recognize that on a down day, he's still God. On a down day, I still believe, you know, there are difficulties and there are loss, but through it all, you know, he is faithful.
Yes. Years ago, I discovered the 17th chapter of the book of John. This is what I love about the word of God is that it just, his word is fresh manna every day. And I grew up studying the Bible. I'm an adamant student of the Bible. But I love how you can just open up your Bible and God opens up his mouth and you find something that you know you've read before, but it's new and it's fresh as if you're seeing it for the very first time.
Revelation.
Yeah. You talk about manna. You talk about rhema, revelation. And so one day I was in church and the pastor said, turn to your neighbor and say to your neighbor, I am God's favorite. And I thought, okay, that's kind of cute, but I don't get that. But I said, my husband and I exchanged that phrase, but I just couldn't shake that phrase. And he just kind of did it as an icebreaker, you know. But I went home just beginning to scour just looking in the Word of God, just reigniting my faith as it pertains to the love of God and what it really means to be loved by God. And we toss that phrase around a lot, you know, God loves you, or I love your shirt, or mm-hmm. oh, your I love your haircut, it really looks good on you. We kind of toss that word around loosely. But I really began to discover what it means to be God's favorite. And one day as I was reading John chapter 17, verse 23, it's a red letter passage. It's the high priestly prayer of Jesus as he's praying for his disciples. Verse 20 reveals not only was he praying for his disciples, but he was praying for us.
Right.
And that just blew my mind that even before I was born, long before I was born, long before we were ever born, Jesus was praying for us at the most critical time of his life mm-hmm. as he was facing the cross. Mm-hmm. Then I got to verse 23, and this is the life-changing verse. This is a life-changing verse for me, John 17, 23. As Jesus is praying, he says to the Father on our behalf, he says, I am in them, and you are in me. May they be completely one. Mm-hmm. Then the world will know that you sent me and that you love them just as much as you love me. Mm-hmm. That's the New Century Version.
Wow.
And I had this revelation. I've always known that God loves me. But that day I discovered that God loves me just as much as he loves Jesus.
Wow.
And what that means is if he loves me just as much as he loves his son, mm-hmm. that means he won't drop me.
He won't drop you.
He won't neglect me. He won't allow my situations or my circumstances to slip between the cracks. He won't banish me from his presence. But it's the total opposite. He treasures me. He loves me. He is attending to every one of my needs. He loves me just as much as he loves his son. Mm-hmm. And as I began to dig deeper into that thought, I began to treasure the fact that even in spite of the things that I don't know, like, you know, we ask these questions like, why me?
Mm-hmm.
Why did this have to happen to me? Why me? Why this? Why now? Well, as I let the love of God, the ever-present, unconditional love of God become the foundation of my relationship with him, mm-hmm. then I began to understand that even in spite of the things that I don't know, I can still trust him.
Right.
And that began to really solidify my faith. I accepted Christ when I was 8 years old. Just a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. I passed a landmark
wow.
a year in my life, 50 years of walking with the Lord.
Wow.
I'm going to try to give you enough loose information so you can't do the math, but but close enough. Over 50 years I've been walking with the Lord,
yeah.
and I have found him faithful. I
sure.
have found him true. I have found him, his love, reassuring. I have found a brand new meaning of hope, meaning the great expectation of better things to come.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I teach about in this book called This I Know For Sure. Mm-hmm. There's a companion women's Bible study mm-hmm. called This I Know For Sure and a beautiful music CD. I teach by DVD. I lead worship in the women's Bible study called This I Know For Sure. And that's really the underlying theme, is that even in spite of your questions,
sure.
even in spite of your doubts, God can still be trusted because he loves you just as much as he loves his son.
Great. We're going to pause. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about leadership. Stay with us. Babbie is still in the studio. Back, we're going to talk about leadership. Now, you've heard me say on Surfcast before that leadership is influence. Leadership occurs in relationships, and leadership is a process. And Babby has been doing this for a very long time, and actually a very short time. So we'll let you try to figure out the math. If you were with us in the last segment, you would have heard her talk about going over a 50-year mark of really honoring God with her life. Powerful. That is awesome. That is great. So, Babby, let's talk about leadership. Now, you are a teacher, obviously, 25 years now at Lee University. You teach songwriting. But in addition to that, you are a leader in the industry. You know, a lot of people look at you and they look to you, a lot of young musicians. And so talk to us a little bit about from your story. What does it mean to actually honor God with the platforms God has given? You know, let me say this. You've performed in front of Presidents Carter, Ford, Bush, Mrs. Bush, Lady Margaret Thatcher, correct? Maybe Jeff Foxworthy, you've been on a show with him or something. You've had tons of platforms and those that we haven't even mentioned. So what does it really mean, or how do we honor God and actually develop others in this individual process of using those platforms to further the kingdom of God? Make sense?
Yes. Oh, perfectly. Well, I had to learn first person. You know, I'm by no means perfect. I've had to live and I've had to learn. I've had to make mistakes to understand what's really valuable and what's not. I've won awards. I've won Dove Awards. I'm in the Christian Music Hall of Fame, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, Dove Awards collect dust and they sit on a bookshelf and they're really pretty to look at. But when it comes down to what really matters, I've learned, and it didn't take me long to learn, that people are really trophies of grace. That's what it's really about. And all it takes is for me to get a letter or an email or have a conversation with someone whose life has been touched or changed or impacted by something the Lord allowed me to write. A few years ago, I was privileged to sing at a Friday Night Sing on the Moody Broadcasting Network.
Okay.
And they broadcast the concert live. And this was back before email and things like that. I sang in this concert one night, one Friday evening, and the next week I got this letter from a young lady who had heard the concert live over the radio. And she lived in the Chicagoland area. And her letter said something like, "I was on my way to Lake Michigan. I had a loaded gun in my car,
wow,
and I planned to take my life." She said she hit the scan button in her car just to find some music that to distract her from what her plans were.
Mm-hmm.
And it landed on my concert. How cool is that? That it
exactly
would just arbitrarily, as we would say, land on this concert that I happened to be performing. But we know God had ordained this moment.
Mm-hmm.
It landed on the concert, and I was singing. I was speaking and singing a song called "He'll Find a Way." And the chorus to the song "He'll Find a Way" says this: "For I know if he can paint a sunset and put the stars in place, if he can raise up mountains and calm the storm-tossed waves, if he can conquer death forever to open heaven's gates, then I know for you he'll find a way." That young lady sat on the shore of Lake Michigan contemplating taking her life. She heard those words. The Lord ministered to her heart. She got out of her car, heaved the gun into the lake, and got back into her car with hope. She sat down to write me a letter to tell me that that song made a lot of difference in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, when you keep getting mail like that, when you get letters from people who said, "My life was in the balance, but something that you sang, something that you wrote, something that you said in your concert gave me hope," that makes all the difference in the world. I got a letter with pictures, photographs of a mom standing by her child's gravestone. And engraved in her child, her baby's headstone are words from one of my songs. "God is too wise to be mistaken.
Mm.
God is too good to be unkind. And when you cannot trace his hand, trust his heart."
Mm.
I mean, when you get mail like that,
sure,
that will help you stay focused. And you know immediately that it's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about me. I'm just a vessel. Now, I know God has to, he has to use people to get his message into the earth. He wants to, well, I don't know that he doesn't have to, but he chooses to. He chooses to use us. He chooses to use me. And you know what? I get so much joy from being used.
Mm-hmm.
I get so much joy from knowing that something that I say or do or write or sing encourages somebody on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
And that really, and the older I get, the more I realize the truth of that. And so, as I said before, it's all about keeping this in perspective. I'll tell you, one day I was reading from the 16th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. And it's a powerful story of how David was called to be king. But it goes into the next part of David's story where in the palace of King Saul, he's having these fits of rage. Mm-hmm. Somebody said he was manic depressive, and King Saul needed help. He needed emotional stability. He needed somebody to pray these demons off of this man. Mm-hmm. And Saul's servant was in tune enough with this king's need, and he went to the king and he said, "I have seen a son of Jesse." And he goes and he lists all these qualities that David, the son of Jesse, possessed, that these qualities that David had. He says this, he mentions these qualities. He says to the king, "I've seen a son of Jesse. He's a man of skill. He's a brave man and a warrior. Mm-hmm. He speaks well. He's good looking, and the Lord is with him." Mm-hmm. And when I saw those qualifications, I said, "God, sign me up." Yeah. That's what I want to be. Mm-hmm. That is who I want to be. First of all, I want to be dedicated to you. When people look at me, I want them to say, her ministry, that girl's ministry gets results. Mm-hmm. I want to be in Babby Mason's concerts because I know I'm going to be encouraged. Mm-hmm. I met a young fellow earlier last year when I did a concert down in South Atlanta. He told me we had a 10th anniversary concert in our ministry 10 years in, so that would have been like 1994. Helen Baylor was with me. Lionel Harris was with me that night in our concert. There was a young guy just fresh out of high school who gave his life to Christ in that concert that night. We did an invitation, and he accepted Christ. Last year, I was at his church where he is now serving as their worship pastor.
Right.
And so this is what I'm talking about. We are to use our gifts, our talents, everything that God gave us to make him look good. Mm-hmm. And so I look at those qualities that David had, and the first thing out of the gate was skill. This is what the servant said of David to King Saul. David is a man of skill. Mm-hmm. And this is what I'm trying to teach my class. And when we do our workshops, I do a workshop called The Inner Circle. It's an ongoing workshop that I host twice a year. One in the spring, it's for it's for songwriters, because it's coming up here in a few days. For songwriters, where I teach and pour into them everything I think I know about songwriting. And then in the fall, for Christian artists, I pour into the singers and performers and those that want to get their songs on the internet. And I tell them, look, you got to be a person of skill. Excuse my ill-spoken grammar. You got to be.
You got to be.
You got to be. You better
be.
That's
intense.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to be the best for Christ so that you can make the ultimate goal is not for you to build your kingdom on earth,
right,
but to build his kingdom on earth. Mm-hmm. Not to make you look good, but to make him look good. And this is what I love about the Lord, is when you make him look good, he'll make you look good. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote a brand new book called Fully Qualified, and I talk about those skills that David had in light of his position as an armor bearer. Saul ended up hiring him, brought him into his palace, and David became King Saul's armor bearer. And it's because he was skillful,
right,
he was a brave man, he was a warrior, not afraid of challenges. He was well-spoken, meaning he had a word for every moment, a good word for every moment. Mm-hmm. He had a word of encouragement or a word of wisdom at the right moment, in the right moment, with the right motive. He was a fine-looking man. Now, that's relative to whatever the need is, meaning he was appropriate for every occasion. And the Lord was with him.
That's
God's hand was upon his life. And those are the qualities I want to possess.
So let's get a little practical for just a minute on that, okay? So let's say that we have you're talking to a songwriter, a singer, a musician, an aspiring musician who's saying, you know, man, I really want to do this. Babby, I see what's in you and I want that in me. But there's also in David's life, in your life, my life, and all of our lives, a period of waiting. There's a period when, man, you know, we really could, we really can see bigger things. We really are aspiring and anticipating bigger things. But maybe God's wanting us to wait for just a little bit. So what are some lessons that you've learned that you can teach for a couple of minutes to those that are listening on this process of waiting, knowing that the promise is going to be great, but sometimes that waiting period causes us to either be frustrated, disappointed, unfortunately falling into failures, those types of things. What are some successful ways to endure the waiting process?
See, with God, everything has a purpose.
Yep.
Even the waiting has a purpose. And while you're waiting, you're not supposed to be just sitting around waiting for the phone to ring or sitting around twiddling your thumbs. While you're waiting, evidently there is a purpose for your waiting. Things are not quite ready yet. Maybe you're not ready. The possibility is good that you're not ready.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you need to be studying. The internet has kind of sold us a bill of goods in that everybody is a star on the internet. And we've kind of gotten this mentality that, well, if I put a video out there and I get a few hundred or a few thousand or a couple million hits, I don't need to study. I don't need to go to school. Mm-hmm. I don't need to, you know, it kind of sends a false sense of security. But let me just say, that's exactly what it is, a false sense of security. Because let me tell you something, there's always going to be somebody better than you, okay? Somebody cuter than you, somebody thinner than you, somebody with more people in their corner than you.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to study to show thyself approved unto
mm-hmm.
God,
mm-hmm.
a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be studying your game, getting your act together. Just like David, he was a man of skill, and his skill brought him before the king. So let just take it from somebody who not only knows, not only has experienced, but I've observed this in the lives of other people. I've studied this, not just in textbooks, but I read it in the Bible. God wants us to be people of skill. He wants us to be our best, to do our best, to aspire to do our best. We're always in the process. You know, after 50 years
mm-hmm.
of being in ministry, or walking with the Lord, and I've been playing the piano. Listen, I played for my daddy's church for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to count the years, it's probably more than 50 years.
Consistency matters. Let me just add that. For 20 years, you played for your dad's church. Consistency
yes.
matters.
20 years for my dad's
yeah.
church. And, you know, there's a great truth about your gift making room for you.
Mm.
When the time is right, okay? You study. Keep honing your craft, studying your skill, getting better, making yourself available. Doesn't matter if you get paid or if it's for free. It doesn't matter. If it's for you, it will find you. You don't even have to find it. If ministry is for you, the opportunity will come to you.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you a quick story?
Sure.
I had begun to sing around the state of Michigan. That's where I'm from. I went to a Christian school, very much like Lee. To Spring Arbor University in Spring mm-hmm. Arbor, Michigan. It's a free Methodist college. I got a scholarship to go there. Sang on campus, just like Voices of Lee. I was in a group called Common Bond. We traveled representing the school. It was just a wonderful opportunity. And it opened up doors for me to sing around the state of Michigan, around the Great Lakes area. Well, then I got married and moved to Georgia. And nobody knew Babby Mason in Georgia. nobody even cared about some Babby Mason in some Georgia. You know, Babby who? Well, my husband used to work for, my husband is kind of a burly black dude. He kind of looks like John Shaft, you know, a hunk of burning love. Excuse me as I digress. But he came home one day from working his day job. As he would say, he was a professional killer. He was a bug exterminator.
That's awesome. I was just thinking that when you said that. I was like, this is great.
Let's hope the man kills bugs and
yep.
not people. But he came home one day and he passed the Mount Perrin Church of God. We used to live right around the corner from Mount Perrin Church of
yep.
God. And he said, Babby, there's this big church around the corner. We need to get you over there to sing. So I had recorded my very first album
yep.
back when I was in school, in college.
They're coming back, by the way. You know, people are buying record players again.
Vinyl is final, baby.
It is coming back. Yeah,
absolutely. And so I got my first record, and I had my typewritten bio. This was long before computers. And I got my typewritten bio and went around the corner, and we went to Dr. Paul Walker's office. And his secretary, very cordial, very gracious, said, well, his calendar is booked up. You can see him maybe in a couple of months.
Months. We're not talking about minutes, right? We're talking about months.
No, it's a couple of months. She actually said about 90 days from now.
Yeah.
My husband said, well, how about the music minister? Is he available? Well, no, he's with somebody. Well, how about the youth pastor? Can we see him? Well, he's out to lunch. My husband said, well, what if I want to get saved? Can somebody lead me to Jesus? He's a real character. She said, well, go across the parking lot to the Family Life Center and speak with Mike Atkins. And so we went over there, waited to see Mike Atkins. I gave him a copy of my bio and my record, and he was very kind. And he said, well, if we have an opportunity, we'll call you.
Yeah.
And so on the way out, I happened to see a piano pushed up against the wall in the room where the singles met. Mike Atkins was the singles pastor at the time. And I saw this piano pushed up against the wall. My piano was still in Michigan because we couldn't afford to bring my grand piano down to Georgia. So it was up there in storage. And I hadn't played the piano in several days. And so I just said to Mike, hey, if you don't mind, can I just for me and Jesus, can I just have my own little Jesus moment? Can I play your piano for a minute? He said, yeah, sure, help yourself. He went back into his office. I sat down and just sang a chorus of, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Well, Mike Atkins came out of his office and he said, what are you doing tomorrow night? I said, nothing. He said, well, come up tomorrow night and sing for the singles. Well, I did. Well, there was a guy in the Bible study that night whose name was Jesse Prophet. Jesse Prophet ran the Salt Cellar Coffee House for Calvary Chapel, Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse said, what are you doing Saturday night? I said, nothing. He said, well, come up to the coffee house and sing a few songs. Well, the pastor, Laverne Campbell, was there, and Laverne said, what are you doing in the morning? I said, nothing. He said, well, come and sing some songs for us in the worship service. And we joined Calvary Chapel. That was our home church for many years. And I began to lead worship there and sing there on the worship team. And as the ministry began to just present more opportunity, and we launched the ministry in 1984. But it was, I can tell you, many, 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 if not most of my opportunities were generated by just showing up.
Sure, sure.
And not worrying about if I'm going to get paid, not worrying about if the sound was right, or if the lighting was right, or if my hair was right, or if it was a photo opportunity. None of that. It was always about ministering to people and glorifying God. Mm-hmm. And being a conduit, just being a person in the middle to bring God and people together.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite passages of scripture is Luke 2:52. And Jesus grew in wisdom and favor with God and with man.
Yes.
And just as you were talking just now, and actually when you were singing, I'm pretty sure somebody may have just pulled their car over to the side of the road just to have a worship moment.
Amen.
Because I could just feel that genuine presence. But I want to conclude this particular segment with this comment to what you just talked about, Babby. I think that one of the things is that we tend to make ourselves so busy that, you know, when somebody asks, or better yet, when God may be saying, what are you doing? We're so busy, we're not available. Let's be reminded through that little illustration that our availability to God is the key point of our ability to actually work for God in the kingdom and to do what God's wanting us to do. What a great story. Thank you for sharing that. We're going to be right back. We're going to conclude this episode today, and we're going to talk about how you and others can use their gifts and their talents to serve the world. And we're back, and we are going to conclude with this particular segment of this episode, and we're going to continue our conversation with Babby. We're going to talk about service. Now, if you've missed the first two segments, you probably want to pull over on the side of the road or somewhere or wherever you're at and, you know, back this up to the beginning and grab a hold of it, because I'm telling you, this is pretty powerful stuff. So, Babby, talk to us about this idea of service. What does service really mean to you, and ways in which you have been able to and have seen God use you to actually serve someone and make a huge impact for a long-term basis in their life?
You know, I keep saying that I get to do what I love.
Mm.
And I really feel like if we make ourselves available, he'll give us the availability. He gives us the opportunity. We give him the availability.
Mm-hmm.
We make ourselves available to him and give him permission to use us. You know, it's called surrender. And I tell you, I have had the best times of my life just surrendering to God and saying, yes, God, And some of those opportunities have taken me places that weren't always comfortable, like the jungles of Africa where there wasn't any indoor plumbing and there were potholes that take you to this little village and there's a rainstorm coming and you wonder if you're going to get back to your hotel. Yep. And you ate, chicken that had pebbles in the dish because they cook on the ground. And mm-hmm. That all just contributes to this wonderful life experience. And I came home knowing I got a chance to bless people. I got a chance to minister to people. I got a chance to share Christ with people. And so in this season of my life, like I told you when we first started this interview, I'm nowhere being finished. I don't even think I've written my best song. I don't even think I've given my best performance. I haven't even begun to tap into my gifts, but I'm trying to, I don't want to die with the good stuff still left in me, mm-hmm. And so I keep just stretching myself and pushing myself. A few years ago, as I turned to that 30th anniversary of being in ministry and, looking at my 60th birthday, and I thought, God, how can I maximize the gift that you've given me in light of these opportunities that I have? How can I maximize my time, my effort, knowing that, I may not be able, I may want to sing for the rest of my life, but my voice, when I'm 70, obviously won't be like it was when I was 30. Mm-hmm. So how can I maximize and better use my gifts going forward? And I began to pray about that. And somewhere along the line, I was introduced to internet radio. Mm-hmm. And right up until that moment, even ongoing, I've been doing workshops. As I told you before, we do this workshop called The Inner Circle, and where I teach and train singers, songwriters, and authors, all independent, self-published authors, independent recording artists, and independent songwriters. And I began to investigate launching an internet radio station. Mm-hmm. And after a lot of homework and a lot of pulling my hair out with technology, we launched Babby Mason Radio back in 2014. And we play, everybody that you know and love, your favorite gospel music, your favorite worship music. But we also create an opportunity where we play the music of independent artists. Okay. We interview them. We put their pictures on our website. We interview self-published authors. I coach authors to help them write better books. I coach songwriters to help them write better songs. And then we give them an opportunity to tell their stories on our radio station.
Now, they do this like together over a couple of days, or what does that look like?
Well, the conference is over a couple of days. The radio station is online at www.babbymasonradio.com. Okay. Just type that into your internet browser, click go, and it will land you on our website. There's a bar that says Listen Live. Click that bar, and you can listen to beautiful music and encouraging words 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. You'll hear a lot of Babby. She's my favorite artist, so you'll hear a lot of Babby and a lot of Babby stories. You'll hear a lot of your favorite worship artists and gospel music artists. Mm-hmm. But mixed into our playlist is you'll hear the beautiful stories of independent artists, their testimonies. You'll hear the interviews, just like what we're doing right here, mm-hmm. but only I talk with independent artists and independent and self-published authors. And we play a lot of your favorite ministries. I play every Sunday night at 8 o'clock. I play the classic sermons of Dr. Paul Walker, mm-hmm. Who is like the overseer for the Church of God for a lot of years, the mm-hmm. pastor of Mount Perrin Church of God. He is one of those people that has, one of those great leaders that has really inspired me over the years, and I love his preaching. So I play his sermons on Sunday night. I play Crown Financial Ministries. I play Kay Arthur, some of your favorite Bible mm-hmm. study teachers. We also have on our radio station, it sounds just like your regular great terrestrial radio station, only it's online, and you'll hear brand new artists who are independent, brand new authors who are self-published.
Good. So how do you challenge these people who are now beginning to enter the industry, perhaps, and beginning to enter through the fullness of their ministry? What are some challenges that you give them in the way of personal responsibility? Because when God gives you something of value and resource, actually, we have to honor God with it. But sometimes it also means that we use that to serve God's children who also have need and lack. So what are some ways in which you encourage these new aspiring lead or new aspiring musicians and singers to really be biblically and socially responsible with what they have to make sure they meet some of the basic needs of others?
Mm-hmm. I challenge independent singers, songwriters, and authors. First of all, keep the main thing the main thing. Mm-hmm. Remember, it's not about you.
Right.
It's about God using you. So keep the main thing the main thing. Those things that I talked about earlier in our interview, your family, keep that, your faith in mm-hmm. Christ, mm-hmm. your family. And one thing that we haven't talked a lot about, and that is fellowship.
Okay.
Stay connected.
Good.
Stay connected to people in your life that matter. Stay connected to your family. Stay connected to your church fellowship. And we're seeing a trend right now where I heard a really alarming statistic the other day that I think this is true, but it was like 90% of churches in America are dying.
Mm.
And I thought, God, how can that be? But the church in America is dying.
Mm.
And that's a real alarming statistic because for every believer, the life is the church is the body of Christ,
mm-hmm.
and the church is our life force. It's our lifeblood. It's our vehicle where we fellowship together. You know, I saw this episode of something like Wild Kingdom a few years ago, where this little impala got away from its mother. Mama was over here feeding the babies, and one little lone impala got away, and he became prey
mm-hmm.
for a lion who devoured him. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens when we isolate ourselves. We become prey for the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to encourage you to maintain a fresh faith,
mm-hmm.
maintain great relationships with your family, and maintain a fellowship with other believers so that you can stay strong in your faith.
Sure. And I don't think that God created us for isolation. He actually created us for community.
Absolutely.
And he talks about that, and he challenges us to do that.
Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, but do it all the more as you see the day of Christ approaching.
Always.
Always.
Babby, that is great stuff. Now here, we're going to take one last comment from you to wrap up this episode today. And then at the conclusion of this, you're going to hear a tune from Babby. She's the favorite artist of many of us today. And so in this episode, you're going to be able to hear a song that Babby is going to sing for you that you're going to be able to reflect on this conversation that we've had. But sum us up today, Babby. What's one last challenge or one last affirmation you want to share to the people of the Lord today, or those who are listening to us?
I have so enjoyed this time, and thank you for inviting me. You know, both of my parents are in heaven now, and some words that my mom reminded me of a few years ago come immediately to my remembrance. You know, we oftentimes in our desire and our effort to encourage people, I'll ask you how you're doing, and sometimes we'll say, well, I'm hanging in there,
mm-hmm.
and that'll kind of be our response. Well, my mother said, one day I told my mama that I was hanging in there, and she said, you know, the Bible doesn't say anything about hanging in there. my dad was a pastor, but my mom was the preacher, okay? My mama said, the Bible doesn't say anything about hanging in there.
Yep.
And then she proceeded to give me some examples. She said, you know, when you're hanging in there, you're vulnerable.
Yeah.
You're at risk when you're hanging in there. The Bible doesn't say a word about hanging in there, but the Bible says having done all
mm-hmm.
to stand and put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand
mm-hmm.
the fiery darts of the wicked mm-hmm. one. And so that would be my word of encouragement. Don't hang in there.
Mm-hmm.
Stand in there. And make God look good with your gifts and your talents. Encourage people with what God has given you, and you'll get a lot of joy out of doing what you do.
Thank you, Babby. Thank you for joining ServeCast today. Stay tuned for this tune from Babby as you reflect on what God might be speaking to you so you can continue to stand and then run forward for the kingdom of God purposes in this world. Have a great day. Catch you next time on ServeCast. Babby's next.
Sometimes we don't see how they could. struggles that break our hearts in two, sometimes blind us to the truth. Our Father knows what's best for us. His ways are not our own. So when your pathway grows dim and you just don't see Him, remember you're never alone. God is too wise to be mistaken. Is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. Trust His heart.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Servcast. The thoughts and opinions expressed on Servcast are those of William Lamb, his guest, and no one else. Until next time, this is Servcast, signing off from Studio 22.
thank you guys so much for joining us on Servcast. Be sure to rate and review us on iTunes and share us on Facebook. Hey, if you've got any questions, send them to servcast22@gmail.com. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you next time on Servcast.